Have you ever taken a career break just to focus on your kids? If so, did you struggle to get back to work life? Today we talk about the power pause and how you could actually return to work without feeling like a bad mom.
We read the books, we bought the things. We thought we were ready. And then life took our plans and changed them. I'm Karen, I'm Victoria's mommy, and I work in tech.
And I'm Pamela. I have a baby boy named Ford, and I'm a journalist. And although we're both first-time working moms, we're actually pretty different.
And that's totally okay, because we both agree that our most important work is raising our kids. We really need each other and can only get through this together. Welcome to Motherish Moments.
Hello.
Hi.
So I'm excited to talk about this because I recently went to a book reading. Well, it wasn't a book reading. It was like an author.
Like a meet and greet author.
Yes. Yeah. And I, by the way, I've never been to one of those. I don't know like where I've been all my life, but I went to one and I left really.
Wait, so I'm curious. How did you ended up there because you had already read the book then it showed up or no?
No, I literally like.
Okay.
I read children's books.
No. Okay, so have you read this book?
No, somebody invited me. Somebody invited me.
Okay.
So my friend Maria invited me, and a combination of things happened. I was, you know, it was my weekend without Victoria, and I had already spent a series of days home without socializing outside of work. And I feel like once you get in there, it's hard to get out. And so I had this pending invitation and I was like, Karen, you need to get out of the house. Karen, you need to get, you know, because I mean, that's like a whole other podcast episode. But like, you know, like once you kind of get into this like little
cocoon,
like it's easy to stay in there. And like in this specific life situation that I'm in, that's probably not a good idea. So anyway, so I went and it ended up being so nice. And it was such a great conversation. And you know those situations where you're like, I'm so happy that I like pushed to do this because it was such a pleasant surprise. But anyway, this author is fantastic. The conversation in the room was fantastic. It was also great. So I just wanted to like bring this topic to us here. But first, you know, we can jump into our motherish moments.
Yes. So why don't we start with, okay, so my motherish moment. Ford is, you know, he's been doing this for a long time, but I think he's gotten not worse, but he's becoming more consistent in the copy, right? So if you say something like, he'll repeat it. He's like a parrot.
Yeah.
So we have to be very careful, like what we say, what comments we make, what jokes we make, you know, so we become, the dad and I, Jordan and I, are becoming both very, very aware of it. I am definitely more aware than he is. Because, you know, it's like having to rearrange your personality to become someone else because you don't want this other person to kind of pick up on the bad habits that you have, right? So the other day, so the dad happens to, you know, he curses. He's like, oh, whatever, in the traffic or like whatever. He like throws the F-bomb all the time.
Yeah. And you don't really curse.
I don't curse at all,
right? Yeah.
I'm not a big,
no,
just not in there. It's funny though, because when I first met the dad, I thought it was like so hot, like major like bad boy vibes, like, you know, like,
why are we like this?
Why are we like this? Now I cringe. Every time he curses, I'm like, because I just imagine Ford like picking up on it and saying them. And I obviously do not want any of that. And the other day we're like rushing to school. He's in his little like we're like in the guest bathroom, like, you know, on the way out to the house and brushing his teeth really fast. And he's like, Mom, you know, he's like, can I say the F word? And I'm like, no, baby, like, it's a really ugly word. I don't want you saying it. You could get in trouble for it. Like, just, you know, why don't we pick another word we could say? He's like, how about when I'm alone? I'm like, no, just don't say it. Just forget about it. Like, you know? So I'm like, okay, well, hurry up. So I kind of like step outside the room, the restroom, because he was finishing up. And I hear him go, I can't even say it. I don't want to say it.
No, but he, don't
like,
say it. Don't
he literally whispered like, F.
Really? Yes. Oh my God.
And then I come back and I'm like, I didn't want to laugh. I'm like, are you done? Are you okay? He's like, yeah, I'm done.
I let it out.
Yeah, like I feel better. And I'm like, okay, like he be like wanted it to say so bad that he had to like let it out. God. It was actually cute and funny, but like not funny, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But it just shows you have to be so careful with what you say and what you do, because they're listening.
I know.
Today on the way to school, my mom is like, oh, you know, do you know who our president is? He's like, yeah, Donald Trump. And then he's like, well, oh, yeah, how do you know that? He's like, oh, because mom, you know, was working and she was like, you know, talking about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, he's picking up on everything.
Yes, yes. I'm going to make my mother's moment super light. And it's
FFF
related. So I hear you in the sense that, like, we're definitely in the phase now where they pick up on everything, they hear everything. And I guess I'll just add to that and be like, they apply it however they feel is correct, right? So yesterday, Victoria and I were chatting because she has already started brainstorming for her birthday party, which I was like, you know, last year I was like, this is the last big birthday party, blah, blah, blah.
By the way, Ford reminded me that it's coming up. Like, it's very close.
April.
Yeah.
It's their birthday. January. Like, what's wrong with them? Like, it's like crazy.
I know.
They're like, no, Victoria is all about her birthday. And I'm like, mommy, but there's still months, you know? And she's like, no, it's soon. And so, whatever. She's saying that she wants to have an E.T. birthday party.
That's adorable. I love
that. She's like obsessed. I love it. But I was doing a pop quiz with her of E.T. And so, like, little questions. Like, what was E.T.'s favorite candy? Like, what did E.T. wear for the Halloween costume? Whatever. Brainstorming, right? And I go, okay, here's, like, a hard one. I go, who directed the movie E.T.? And she goes, I know, Donald Trump. And I was like, no. But that's what I'm saying. Like, they just have information in their heads and they just apply it to, like, whatever. Like, I don't know. I was just like, absolutely not. It was Steven Spielberg. Please don't understand.
That's funny.
It was so random. But anyway.
By the way, now that you mentioned that Trump in a movie. So Ford went through the whole Home Alone 1, Home Alone 2 during Christmas.
Yes.
But it's not great for him. Like, it's cute, but, like, he's like, I'm going to give in to the count of three.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
Oh, my God. Yes. They pick
when
up.
When he gets upset, he, like, quotes, like, the movie that they play.
Yeah.
And I'm going to blow you. I don't even know what he says. Like, I'm going to blow your brain. So I don't even know. But I'm trying to undo Home Alone.
I know. But I also am like, well, you know, we saw it as kids, too, and we're okay. So I was trying to remind myself, we're okay.
Are we okay? I don't know. Anyhow, so the book is called Power Pause.
It's called The Power Pause, yes, by Neha Roosh.
By the way, did you consider your break from work a power pause? Or was it, would you label it that way? Or
so I wish I had read this before. I haven't read it yet. But I wish I had been exposed to more conversations like this prior to that, you know, break of work that I took, just because I think I would have found it a lot less intimidating, a lot less scary. So she did a lot of research about this topic overall, about, like, ambitious women and women who've had careers and almost kind of like this, like, shame that you feel of saying, like, well, I really want to lean into family life for a while, you know?
And I mean, most people that I know, most friends that I know that have taken a pause or a break from work, you know, to become a full-time mom, either was because they hit a wall, they were done. Like, I don't really know a lot of people that preventively were like, you know what? This is a good season. Let me go ahead. And I feel like work or, you know, something happens where you're forced to take a break. And then you're like, okay, you know what? It is a good time for me to focus on my kids.
She talks about how to plan for it and how to organize yourself for it. Obviously, like, so much of it is being aligned with, you know, if you have a partner, being aligned with your partner and how you can organize yourself financially, how you can organize yourself mentally. Because you go from being on this, like, highly accelerated kind of productivity to then this different type of highly accelerated productivity of being at home. But the work that you do at home satisfies, like, some buckets of your life, but not all of them. And so a few of the things that, like, came up in the conversation was that so many of these women that decide to take a power pause, to go ahead and, like, coin the phrase that she uses, they end up doing all of these like side projects anyway because they're so used
to wired like, to function and produce and feel fulfilled by doing something now that is not just your kids.
For sure. And then when you dive into the world of motherhood, like for real, like roll up your sleeves, doing this in and out every day, you end up being so overwhelmed by all of the gaps that you see, all of the things that like where these moms need more support and they don't have this support. And so you think about how can we come up with different ways to like fix this? Because, you know, moms that are full-time caretakers of their children, the way that it's set up right now, like it needs.
Yeah, but I think a lot of it is we have to blame ourselves because we always talk about us. Well, let's say we're not, like even when I'm on vacation and Ford's on vacation. I'm like, okay, I'm doing it all. I'm going to, you know, spend all day with him, all morning. I'm going to take him to all the activities. I'm going to go to the park. I'm going to do an arts and craft with him. I'm going to make a, you know, meal. I don't know what that meal looks like, but I'm making something for him to eat.
I was really with
but you. But imagine you doing that every single day. I feel like we take on the load because of the guilt of thinking, okay, if I'm going to be at home focusing on my child, let me do everything.
Yeah.
You know, and it's...
I mean, I definitely.
And I think your friend Maria, we had her here.
Yeah.
And that conversation was very interesting because I really felt like she was taking so much just to justify that she was home, right? Like, this is my job now. This is what I'm doing. Right. And
because we're wired, especially coming from like a career, like so many years of being focused on your career, you're wired to like have some label of productivity, I guess. And then when you don't have it, I remember like the first few months after leaving Meta and being at home, I realized that I started running the home like a startup, like a job. Like I instead of like being a little bit more laid back and really enjoying the time, because that was the point. Like I kept coming up with like, well, what if I do this and I can do this and I can do this other thing and how can I make this more efficient? And it was like I was... Again, like I found a new way to burn myself out. Like it was, yeah. But it's a tough pivot. It's a really tough pivot. And I think, and another topic that she touches on heavily here is the identity crisis that happens because you put so much weight into like, imagine Pamela, if like tomorrow you are a journalist, you will always be a journalist. Your place of work does not make you or break you from being a journalist, right? Like that is your profession, that is your knowledge. But the day of tomorrow, let's say that you are no longer all of the places, like you're no longer tied to the identity of where you work. How do you present yourself at the park? Like, let's say you're at the playground and you are, you know,
you see another mom. I also think I've really leaned into being Ford's mom. Like a little too much, you know what I mean? Like I've always been like trying to like distance myself from just being Ford's mom because.
But yeah, I don't see you that way at all.
Really?
I see you much more like work Pamela and Ford's mom. But work Pamela for me is like a huge part of the pie.
I feel like now whenever like I'm out and someone sees me, you're like, oh, how are you? How's the baby? How's Ford? Like they're like,
really, really step into this. Like imagine that you are not working. Obviously, no, we don't want that. But like imagine if you're not working and it's a Tuesday and you take, Tuesday after school and you take Ford to the park and someone, you know, you engage in conversation with a mom. So what do? Like, don't you feel that like, how do you justify who you are, what you do, when in reality, what you do, if you are a full-time caretaker of your home and your kids, is so much, like so much, you know? But like, what do you do? And so a lot of the women that go through this process, then they end up having this massive identity battle because they're like, it doesn't feel like enough for them, even though it shouldn't be that way, but like, it doesn't feel like enough for them. It's this whole crazy concept and the room... So this event happened at a bookstore, Books and Books here in Miami. And there were about like 25, 30 women in the room. And as they were speaking, as the author, she was being interviewed. By the way,
did you go with your friend Maria?
I went with Maria. she's the one who was like, come on, Karen.
But I really feel like this book probably really spoke to her directly.
Yeah.
Because she was very vulnerable when she was on the podcast about redefining who she was, finding purpose, finding, feeling like she's productive, you know, she...
But it's wild because so I know her a little bit more than I mean, I still don't know your conversation from the podcast, but like this girl was out of work for like 2 months before suddenly she like launched an Etsy store and she has these all these things and she created a brand online of like of all like, and I'm just like, holy moly, we don't know how to not be. And I think it's amazing, by the way. I'm not saying it as a criticism. I just feel like, number one, women are so amazing.
Yeah, like, but I think ever, like, since from that to where she is now, I think she realized she needed to step back a little bit.
Yeah, but still, I think she's like now ran herself made into a wall again. And it was like, I'll have all four seasons of the calendar for your home. Like, she's still, I don't know how much she's really, really there yet. But I do want to take a moment to like just pause and say that like women are, like we are really a whole other level of species. Like. Our levels of productivity, our ability to think about so many things at the same time and do things. This is not a criticism towards men. This is not what I'm doing. I'm just trying to acknowledge that I really feel like us women, like from where we come from thinking a few generations back of women being like only at home and blah, 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 then going out into the workforce, being extremely successful in the workforce while also finding ways to manage like home life, family, like it's so much, and we look good doing it. I just can't.
But we always talk about how amazing we are, and I always say we don't realize it until we have to delegate what we do. Yeah. Like I remember always, like whenever I go on a trip and I have to send that email about, okay, this is gonna be for schedule, this is what you're gonna do, this is where you're gonna pick him up, this is what he has to wear, this is where the birthday gift is, this is where the birthday party is. When you start putting it in writing and actually seeing what you're getting done in your brain, because all this is in here,
yeah,
right? That's when you're like, oh my God, this is a lot that I'm managing, and like all these balls in the air, and it's a lot. And again, you don't notice it until you have to have someone else do the work, and it's usually more than one person, right? Usually not one person replaces you. It's like, okay, mom, you're going to handle this. Jordan, you're going to handle this. And, you know, you kind of like, you have to split it up because it's kind of impossible for anybody else to handle everything that we have chosen to do, right? Like we need to go back to saying, okay, we kind of like
the choice.
Yes. You know, and you sent me a reel this morning about, there was someone crying and she was saying, you know, we are trying to do a job that's not meant for one single person. And it goes back to building a village and having support and making sure that the moms are okay. And like, how could we help you? How could we support you? And for some reason, like in the last decades, it has become like kind of like embarrassing for a mom to ask for help. Right? Like
it's looked down upon
or it's like kind of like, okay, or even when they ask for how they could help you, it's kind of like, oh
yeah,
but instead of just being like the norm, instead of it being like, okay, great, okay, what
Let's
are we doing
divide
help
conquer
you? What are we
here.
So yeah,
there's all these like negative associations to like having a nanny or having support beyond, and it's like, it's crazy because putting the financial part of it aside, right? Because like it is not something everybody can do. If you can do it, I think you should do it, because I think it goes back to like a happy mom. You know who said this? This was another thing that came up during the conversation. So the author was being interviewed by Dr. Mona, who is Peds Doc Talk on Instagram and TikTok, who, by the way, like we're trying to get her on to book her for Motherish, but she's a pediatrician. And she was talking about how ultimately what is best for your child's health is the mother's well-being. And like, that was like such a drop the mic moment, because I'm like, okay, yes. Like, and anything that is going on in your life that maybe puts you in a situation that is hurting your well-being consistently, you have to address it. It's a priority, because that ultimately, yes or yes, will impact your child. But when she said that, the whole room was like, I almost felt like you could see if there were like these little cloud bubbles over everybody's head, every single mother was like assessing like, what are the things that I need to do to ensure that my well-being is taken care of for the like well-being of my child, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and that's why healthy relationships, when you become a mom, becomes so important, right? Because, and we talked about this, about like, before you're like, okay, you could take it, you know, whatever it is that's not healthy for you. But I think once you have a child and they see and they perceive if you're doing well emotionally or not, then you're like, I don't want my child thinking that this is okay, number one. Worrying, concerning about, you know, my well-being, my emotional well-being. Like, there's so many reasons why you're like, this is not right for me because it's going to affect my child.
Yeah. It could be and a that, friendship. It could be anything.
Like, and that makes it easier to kind of end it, you know, like get out of that. And again, it's also physically, right? Like, whatever is hurting you or whatever is not good for you, then you're like, okay, I want to be healthy and strong for my child. So let me give this, you know, make this a priority and kind of focus on this because I want to be a strong physically and emotionally for my child.
I keep seeing all these, Google photos and Apple photos always with the bangers. You know, they bring the memories on this day 3 years ago.
I think I must have deactivated this. I don't know if it was like
good for you
subconsciously honestly. Or like because, but I never get these memories.
Great.
Because the second I go back to like, this morning, Ford was asking me about Disney. And like, oh, we're going on the Disney cruise. We're actually going to Disney Park.
Yeah. And you're like, it's for your birthday.
And then he's like, okay. And I go, we went for your birthday. So we started going like, he's like, oh, I want to see. So we went back to like the videos and the pictures. And I was like, an emotional mess.
Yeah. Mine was going to go in a different way.
Oh, sorry.
No. That's good.
The reason is like, I just feel like sometimes it's not healthy for us to go back and reminisce and hold on to
it. Yeah. I mean, yes and no. So what keeps coming up for me are photos of, you know, what resonates in a negative way, I guess, whatever. I keep seeing on my phone, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and I am unrecognizable. I look at, and I'm talking about like physically, and I know the layers of that mentally and emotionally. That was the root of the physical change. But it's so crazy. And like, it kind of makes me sad looking back because I was putting so much pressure on myself to be okay instead of taking the steps towards being okay. It was almost like I was trying to like, como tapar, you know, like I was like with a band, like I'm like, you must be okay.
Patching it up and not really going deep and like fixing it.
But it's wild because that whole concept of a mom and her well-being, it really comes from within, but it can represent or it can show itself in so many different ways. Like I know this is like a TikTok theories, guys. I mean, now that let's see, I think TikTok has an extra 75 days or something now. We'll see what happens there. But
no,
like,
it's back.
I know,
baby.
But I don't know how long until they do a sale, whatever, doesn't matter. One of the things I've learned on TikTok, so embarrassing, I really shouldn't say this. But
by the way, my mom now, she's become a new grandma based on TikTok. Reels. No, she's on Reels. Yeah. I saw it. Let me pack your, when we went on a trip, let me pack your back with this reel that I saw. And I'm like, really? Really? Everything it's about.
Well, great. Now she can become like a
based on
grandma
Reels.
Influencer. Yes. She should just do it. But they talked, one of the things that you see when it comes to like women and your well-being and a signal that you're not doing okay is the physical effects of having elevated cortisone levels. Have you reached this corner of the internet yet?
Yeah, it's like dopamine, cortisone, like all those things. So like
it's
what
specifically
gives you-
cortisone. When you have elevated levels of cortisone level, when you have elevated levels of cortisone due to stress and anxiety and all of these things, there are specific like physical ways that you can tell. And one of them is like puffy face, like it's like retention, like in all of that. Dude, I feel like that was me. I want to kind of do like a case study on like, look at Karen, 3 years ago, aside from the like weight, there was this like
swollen,
yeah. Like, yeah, it's insane. And I know from the way that I wake up every day, from the way that I feel inside, from how in tune I am with my nervous system, you guys, I sound like a como una loca,
I
but
told
like,
you, to listen,
it's real.
Whatever doesn't it's make real. You bring you peace and your body reacts to it differently. You have to listen to it.
Also now that, I don't know have you ever had the Aura Ring? Have you ever tried the Aura Ring? This is not sponsored by the Aura Ring. Okay. So I have the Aura Ring now. And I've been wearing it since October. So it has a lot of time of data. Mm-hmm. And the way that this thing detects your stress levels throughout the day, like literally, here's an example. Okay. It's like good and bad. I was in a therapy session a couple days ago, and towards the end of the session, we reached a topic that made me feel a little bit elevated. And the entire time of that we were talking about this topic, my Aura Ring detected that I was stressed. Like, you see it kind of like, because it has like relaxed, restored, engaged, which is good, you know, whatever, stressed. And I look, because it has it minute by minute, and I was like, oh my God, this topic makes me stressed. And the Aura Ring has detected it. So now we have so many ways to take care of our well-being.
We just need to listen to our bodies. I always say to listen to your body, to your nervous system, whatever or whoever is making you uneasy. There's a reason. Like, you have to listen to it and not just, you know, pretend, like, minimize it or, like, taparlo, like, 100%. Ignore it. So, like,
Face it, yeah. And anyway, so to wrap up this conversation, you know, I thought this conversation, I'm going to read the book, okay? I'm going to read the book. I haven't read it yet. But I thought the entire conversation was really inspiring. And I loved to see a room full of women that are kind of like challenging and facing, you know, the difficulties that come with this and looking to find ways to make
it better. How is Karen different now that you've come back to the workforce, different from the one that was in it before? Like, after this break that you took?
It's complicated. It's a complicated answer because I'm still, you know, figuring out with the work that I'm doing, the job that I have, trying to figure out kind of like my groove there. But I definitely, so many things have changed. I mean, I'm literally almost a completely different person from the person that was working before. My priorities are significantly different. And within those priorities, it's not only my child, but also projects that I work on for myself. Mm. You know, I have a very strong mission to work on things and build things of my own, in addition to working. And that makes the juggle, you know, pretty complex, but it's so much more fulfilling than before, where so much of my identity was based on being Karen at Instagram, which now it's like I could be Karen at the Marlins. I could also just be Karen, and that's totally fine too. And that's a very, it feels so good to know that.
There's, I was thinking about the other day about the word joy, right? And I'm like, oh, it's so, I never really put a lot of weight into it or thought into the word like joy, because I don't know, just joy, right? Like,
yeah.
When I was younger, I remember I used to think always like joy to the world when I was like, oh. But lately, after I did that course in Austin, which I totally recommend, by the way, I have three friends who are doing it. It really put a lot of weight into like what brings me joy, mm-hmm. right? So who brings me joy? What brings me joy? Like, what am I doing to add to my joy? Mm-hmm. And once you like start thinking in that sense, and I know it sounds probably selfish because not everything's going to bring you joy, I agree. But if you could contribute your time and your effort into whatever it does and whoever does, then it like starts multiplying. And then you become less tolerant of things that rob you from that joy.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I just wanted to kind of end it with that and saying that how we should be, you know, I would say a maniac on a mission to protect that joy, to protect whatever brings you that sense of like happiness, and to be ruthless when it comes to like cutting people off that like are robbing you from that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why when Pamela got out of the car this morning, I like attacked her and I was like, are we good? Are we good? I was like, I don't, and then she's like, am I playing hard to get with you? Do you like that? And I was like, I miss you so much.
I had no idea. I was like, oh, am I being cold? Like, am I distant? Mode. Like, did I not reply to a text?
Like, I'm like, oh my God, maybe she's mad at me.
No, why would I be mad at you?
I don't know. I was just feeling very lonely.
Why
would
you like that? Yes. By the way, the night she went to this reading, she's literally down the street from my house.
Oh, I was already on 95.
She tells me, oh, I just got out of this, you know, this. She was like on a high. She was like, this conversation. And she was
booked
awesome.
People for Mother-ish.
And I booked this doctor for Mother-ish. And I was like, okay. I go, by the way, you're down the street. Let's have a drink. Let's have dinner. You know me. I'm like, I'm here. And she was like, sorry, I'm already like by
my house. I really should have turned around.
You should have, because you're so dressed, like you're in your PJs.
No, yeah, of course.
And also, don't you feel like now sometimes people forget that you're available? Sorry.
Literally, yeah, we could put that for the next episode. That's another episode.
Okay, well, thank you guys for listening and for watching.
Thank you.